Welcome to Kunua Podcast, everybody. Today we've got Dave Williams with us again. Dave, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fantastic, thank you. And how are you?
I am excellent. I'm going on holiday tomorrow, which everybody, when this is kind of broadcast, won't... Well, I will have already had my holiday, but I'm very excited to be going on holiday. So I'm just throwing that in there, even though it's 3 months ago by now. So, Dave,
have a fantastic time.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to it. And it'll not be actually this warm when we come back, when this goes out. It'll actually be jumper weather. So the next season will be getting recorded with jumpers. So, Dave, you're here to talk to us today about management. And this is a really key concept, just because there's a difference between leadership and management. And there's lots of different things that are involved in management as well as leadership, and some of them are different. Do you want to kind of just bring us up to speed with a little bit of your background so that the viewers that have not met you before can kind of understand where you've kind of come from? And then we'll jump straight into talking about what management is.
Yeah, most certainly. And thank you very much indeed for that. Yeah, as you can tell, I'm not 21 anymore. But if you go back many years, decades, to be perfectly honest, I started off with my management journey when I was around about 17 years old. Started off as a management trainee. The organization that I was with, I became the youngest assistant manager in the organization. I then went on to manage stores, multiple sites as well. Did store openings. It was in the retail sector. So store openings, but it was also used as a troubleshooter to go into underperforming stores. To get to the root of the issue so we can get that resolved and get the stores back on track so they can start moving forward, okay? So I left the official management, if you will, to start my own business. And I've actually had different phases of that particular business, but now it's a case of I actually run a coaching business and consultancy business where I also do an awful lot of training as well. And I actually help management of all levels get to perform at their peak.
That's fantastic. I think we could all use with a little bit of that coaching to understand what the kind of differences are and the key concepts. So without further ado, shall we jump into what is management and what are the key concepts that underpin it?
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, management is happening all the time. But what we tend to do, especially with this day and age, have you noticed no matter what you do, there's so much noise going on, whether it's social media, whether it's mainstream media, whether it's just people's opinions, whatever. And what we tend to do is, and we overcomplicate it, with, oh, this new strategy, that new strategy. And before you know it, you've got that many ingredients that you can't even make a cake. So the whole point of today is let's just strip it back. Let's look at the essence of what management is. Because we can all, and I mean all, I've done it before now, get tied up in the next, oh, it's a shiny object thing, whoa, and do that. But we forget about the principles. And as I go through these particular principles, I'm going to be digressing and going into and then exploring some of them in a little bit more depth. Because now, arguably more than ever in life, we've got so many additional challenges out there, but we still need to strip it back and keep it to the basics, okay? So hopefully that makes sense so far. Now, as you can tell, I'm a guy, and with being a guy, I like things simple, all right? So there's four main principles. See, it's not going to be overcomplicated, okay? So, excuse me, I'm sure you'll agree with me that when you're in a management role, you are there for a particular reason. And as far as the business is concerned...
I love it when the whiteboard comes out.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. And hopefully that's appearing the right way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, see, we're there to achieve results, aren't we? Yeah, no matter what we do, we're there to achieve the results, whether it be turnover, whether it be staff retention, whatever it is, we're there to achieve results. But it's how we go about that that is more often than not the biggest challenge. More so now as we're actually coming out of pandemics. Hopefully anyway. Only time will tell with that one. But we still need to achieve the results. There's no two ways about that, okay? And the next one is to develop the team. See, unless, well, obviously you are extra special anyway, but unless you are on a different planet to everyone else, with all due respect, you're not the Oracle. You don't know everything, and like everyone, we've all got 24 hours in a day. So what we need to do, we need to actually get every member of the team performing at their peak so we can actually, oh, collectively maximize that. Because what we're actually doing at the same time as developing the team, apart from everything else, what we're doing, we're all jumping on the same surfboard then, and we're moving forward on the crest of the wave. That no one is left behind. And that's key as far as the team ethos is concerned, and also morale as far as the team is concerned. Because when we're actually doing different things, then yeah, it's a bit like squirrel, what? Squirrel, another one. When we're pointing in the right direction, that's where the force is going. And when the force builds momentum, then everything else just falls into place so much easier because everyone is pulling together.
I've got to say that traditionally in management, where you're kind of firefighting and the next thing comes up and you're fixing that and you're fixing that, and then you haven't got time to develop your team, and then there's a new buzzword and a new concept and a new something that you need to implement. By the time you finish running around trying to do everything you're meant to do, these key things that you're saying, there's no time to do them. Kuminua Coaching is set up to offer mentoring, coaching and courses in leadership, negotiation and soft skills. If you're interested in finding out more about what Kuminua Coaching has to offer you, you can get in touch via Facebook, Instagram, you can type Kuminua into Google, you can email us on kuminuacoaching@gmail.com or go to our website at kuminuacoaching.com. That's kuminuacoaching.com.
That's right. And as you just described that, crisis management.
Yeah.
And in reality, that's what it is. And look, I've been there. Yeah, many years ago when I first started off, yeah, I was, because I was running around like a headless chicken. But the thing is, when we, under normal circumstances, when we've got this ethos going in particular, when everyone's pulling the right way, more often than not, the little fires don't start get generated. Because what will happen when everyone's moving together as a collective, we may well not see the potential pitfall, and they will take action to resolve that pitfall before it actually turns into an inferno rather than just a burning ember.
That's very true.
Okay. So we're developing a team, but that's great as a collective. But we're human beings and we're all different. So what we also need to do is develop individuals. And
for those on audio, Dave's just writing on the board. He's written number one, results, number two, develop team, and number three, develop individuals.
Thank you, forgot that bit. Yes, okay. Because everyone's different. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. Now, there's always been a saying, work harder on your weaknesses than you do on your strengths. Yes. See, the ideal situation is you magnify your strengths, because when you're working as a team, there's normally someone else in the team that is their strength. So when they're actually dealing with that, watch, observe, and you'll pick these things up anyway without having to devote loads and loads of time to working on your strengths. But I'm going to break that, develop individuals down into two particular sections. And one of the things that most managers do not do enough, delegation. Thank you for the giggle there, Marie. Yeah. And again, look, I've been guilty of it before now. But why don't we do it? There's several different reasons. Maybe you're like I was with certain things, but I like doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share. But the thing is, when we do that, that's being selfish. Because if that is our keynote, if that is our greatest asset, then what we're doing, we're depriving one of our team members of something that them, but will also potentially take them even greater than what we could ever do. So who are we to restrict someone's life? But what I get all the time, I don't have time to delegate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, been there. But it's what we're actually doing. We're looking at it short-sightedly. See, what we need to do to develop the individual is we need to delegate, but we also need to invest time. So we're investing time now. And let's just say, for ease of while we're actually doing this, 2 hours, okay? And to do the task, when they become efficient at it, let's say they can then do that in 1 hour. So we've invested 2 hours. It's going to take them 1 hour. So what happens if that's a monthly report? They're then doing that monthly report. How many months do we have in the year? 12. So that's potentially saved us 12 hours for 2 hours investment. But the other thing as well, when we do that and we enable team members to actually get a bit more control, I'm not saying give them everything, don't get me wrong, because it's a step-by-step process, okay? But when we do that, it gives them an awful lot of credibility. It makes them feel more significant in most circumstances. And when people are feeling significant, they're more inclined to share. And that's taking the pressure off us as managers, because we've trained them the right way and delegated that particular task. So not only are we getting that 12 hours back, they will actually share some of their skills with some of their colleagues because they're going to be more open to do that. See, I'd say that I've actually shared this when I've worked in front of human resource directors, loads of directors of organizations. And I've actually said quite often, when you're getting a new employee, you're getting damaged goods. And I don't mean that nastily as far as that individual is concerned. To qualify that, what I mean is they've come from different organizations where the management has been really, really poor. And while they're looking forward to starting a new role, they will automatically go into their old behaviours in as much as, well, I've got a great idea, but I've always been shouted down before. So I'm not going to share that. And that's what I mean by using the term damaged goods. Like I say, it's not a disrespectful term. What I mean is they've been nurtured and moulded a certain way. See, if we're open as far as management is concerned by doing the likes of these, hey, these new people are just going to blossom. And they are going to think that you are the best manager since sliced bread. And when they think that, they'll follow you to the end of the earth. Because you've actually given them something that they've probably never had before. Trust. And trust is such a massive, massive thing. Because what we're also doing as well, because we're spending time with our teams, we are giving them time. We've been in through a pandemic. Let's say, hopefully we're coming out of it. Most people have actually felt a loss of connection with others. If we're investing time in them, wow, they are going to love us forever because we've made them feel special. And be honest, as you're watching or listening to this, ask yourself, do you like feeling special? And I can guarantee that virtually everyone is going to say, oh yeah, because of the generalization, we don't get enough of it, okay?
Everybody's special on the Kuno podcast. Every single listener and follower.
Yeah, most definitely. Especially the host.
I'll take it.
So as far as developing individuals, yes, I've spoken a little bit about the team as individuals, but it doesn't stop there. We as human beings are all individuals. We need to work on ourselves as well. We need to learn more skills. And that's not being reliant on the HR department to put on a training course. We are our own responsibility. And I wish I'd have realized and known this when I was in my early years of management, because I would have been able to achieve an awful lot more and impact an awful lot more people than what I did. Although, don't get me wrong, and I'm not saying this from an egotistical point of view, I had an awful lot of impact with my team, and I helped an awful lot develop and do a lot better than what I did. But if I'd have realized this, I could have helped them even more, okay? Because none of us are the finished article. And the quote by Jim Rohn, yeah, work on yourself more than you do on your job. See, that's not saying that you don't put any time into your job. Don't get that one mixed up, okay? That's not what I'm saying at all. But HR, with all due respect to HR, will look at the needs of the business. So they'll look more at the soft skills, if you will, the practical things that are actually there to move the business forward, which, don't get me wrong, are really important. But the reality is, we as individuals need to feel and be the best that we can be so we can actually move that forward and actually move the team, move the individuals forward as a collective to get even better results. Hopefully that came over the right way, okay?
I can think of one thing that would probably be said about this. So when you're delegating to people, if they're getting something wrong and then they're getting it wrong again and getting it wrong again, it's tempting to say, well, let me just tell them off and they're being silly and they're not getting it right. When actually, and I know what you're going to say, it's our fault as a manager.
I don't need to answer that then, do I?
Because if you're going to kind of, if you're going to work on yourself and your team member is not doing what you want them to do, there are instances in which it can get to a point where the team member's not doing it because the team member doesn't want to, or there's some other issue. But many people underestimate the powerful kind of aspect of, have you communicated the requirements correctly and do they understand it? And that's so simple.
Thank you so much for actually bringing that one up and also adding the term, and do they understand it? That is a massive area where people in general get things wrong. Look, if you ever been in a room, let's say your other half, and you're having a conversation and your other half carries on talking as they go out of the room.
I do that.
I wasn't asking for honesty there, but thank you. But the thing is, see, what we tend to do, the other half, as they've gone out the room, is actually thinking, I've told them that. And we're sat there thinking, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I heard some noise. See, the art of communication is simple, but as human beings, again, we tend to, excuse the French, but cock it up. You know, if you watch any David Attenborough programs or anything along those lines, you've got chimpanzees in the middle of the jungle doing really well communicating with each other. Now, last time I looked, they do not have Wi-Fi. They don't have text, email, anything along those lines, but they do it so well.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to mess up, although we've got so many things, and it's going to get worse. Simple reason, we've been in lockdown. I mentioned about connection a bit earlier on. See, depending on what information that you actually look at, because if you go online, you can see this, but there's variances. 55% of the information that we communicate, both receiving and also giving, is body language. But we've not been seeing people. Yeah, okay, we've got Zoom, we've got medium like this, yes. But even then, not everyone's been communicating that way. And one of the things is, because we've not been seeing that on a regular basis, then the reality is we'll have actually forgotten some of the signals that we would normally be picking up on. So when we're actually developing ourselves, that is one fantastic thing to actually go and research, if you will, and that's body language. But again, when most managers actually go wrong, is the fact that they give an instruction. Well, I've told them what to do. Yes, you have. But again, and thank you for mentioning that again, Marie. Have you checked on understanding? And it's not just a case of, have you got that? Because most people, especially if they're talking to levels above them as far as titles are concerned, don't want to look stupid. So we'll just go, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're trying to save face. So they're going off thinking, I don't know what I'm meant to be doing here. And you as the manager are going off saying, well, I've told them. They must be stupid if they get that wrong. If there's a breakdown of communication, there's one place to look, first of all, and that's in the mirror. Because what we need to do is check on understanding. And it's not just a case of, did you understand that? Yeah. It's a case of, right, tell me what you're going to be doing. And you get them to explain it, paraphrased. Because that way, if there's any breakdown in communication there, you can get it resolved at source rather than days, weeks, months, years down the line. That's possibly several thousands. Because we don't want cost to the business. Bear in mind, we want to do this. And communicating properly is developing the team and developing the individuals. It's all a collective to help everyone achieve the end result. So thank you very much indeed for bringing that up, Marie. And I hope I've actually covered that well enough in view of the question.
No, it's fantastic. Thanks.
I could do another hour on that, but...
do you know what? People underestimate how big the topic of communication is, really, because it's massive. And actually, you could just boil a huge amount of things down to communication. And this thing with body language as well. When kind of somebody's saying something, but their body language is a bit off, you always get this kind of gut feeling that there's something wrong. And it's because the signals aren't adding up.
You're exactly right. It's like the mouth's moving, but the body isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mixed messages. And yeah, obviously with what I do, an awful lot of it is, you know, I do take note of the body language because, again, yeah, you know, when you're actually doing coaching as such, it's all about whether the client is being honest to themselves. But it's the same when we do anything. You know, we need to make sure that we're getting the right message over. See, we've got the story in our mind. We're vocalizing it. You've got the recipient over there that's listening to it and then trying to get the story. Unless we check an understanding, we don't know whether the two stories are going to match. And that's when you've got problems. Now, if you think about it, as far as the history of the world is concerned, we've actually had all sorts of tragic things, wars and all sorts. And more often than not, it's down to a breakdown of communication. Because life is all about relationships. You know, whether it's personal relationships, which business is in many ways anyway, but definitely professional relationships. And if we can get the communication right, then hey, relationships are easy.
I think the fact that it's very hard to be articulate is one of the issues. It's very hard to get a point across in such a way where it can be really well understood, I think. And you look at people like Jordan Peterson who can explain things so clearly, but your kind of average person, and I'll put myself in that group, can struggle to kind of get their point across clear enough for other people to understand it.
Yeah, and look, we've probably all been in situations where we've explained something that because of the picture that we've got, hey, I've actually done that really well. And then you just look around back to the body language and you just see everyone's face going, and you know that you just haven't got the message over properly. Easy enough, okay? First of all, let me reframe that. I'm basically saying the same thing in just a slightly different way. Two things. First of all, the recipients have actually heard it the first time anyway. So they'll have an overview, if you will. When they hear it again the second time, it starts to resonate a bit more. So that's one way. And you will actually see some of the faces change and, got you now, yeah? But the other way is just to ask questions. See, questions are underused. We tend to ask the most pertinent questions at the wrong time. Normally, when someone's done something wrong.
Yeah.
And we ask the really, really $10 million question, why did you do that? Most of the time, I don't know. Yeah, don't remember doing it, whatever. So it's the quality of the question and it's when it's asked. And it's, that's it, it's the quality of the question that makes the difference. But if we need to, not on about disciplinary, but under normal conversation, if we need to use questions, then we don't use them in an accusational way. Because the easiest way to actually turn someone off is make them feel as if they've straight away done something wrong. So you go about it the other way and you talk about the different steps, if you will, to actually get to the core of the question. And that way they're going to be so much more open, and more often than not, from my experience anyway. Yeah, it's a case of, oh God, I did that. Oh, I've done it wrong, haven't I? See, when someone's admitting it, then babe, your job's done. And you don't need to come over as being the bad guy because they've had the realization. But the way to actually get to that is to build the rapport. And building the rapport with, let's say, one of your team members, that's a constant thing that we're actually doing. And it's all tied up with that.
I'm just jumping in here. What would you say to somebody that said, developing a team is what a leader does and results optimization is what a manager does? What would you say to that?
I would say there's a crossover. Because at the end of the day, managers are there to manage a team to achieve results. Leaders are there, in essence, to do the same thing. But the leaders, as I was mentioning, as far as taking the team together, that's what leaders tend to do. It's a collective. Not saying totally, but if you look at it as far as a unit is concerned, it is normally, and it doesn't have to be the person with the biggest title here, because definitely from my experience, the biggest leaders have been, should we say, someone a step or possibly two below, but they've actually got that much rapport. They've done this quite often off their own bat. And because of that, they've got people that are just going to follow them anyway. Whereas managers, as a generalization, just tend to dictate things with the sole purpose of that. But this falls by the wayside.
So with the sole purpose of results, but developing the team falls by the wayside.
Yes. Sorry, yeah. I should have said that. Yeah, because obviously it's someone listening to this purely audio. Yeah. So their main focus, or their only focus, if you will, is results. And they don't care about the team. They don't care about the individuals. Because they're, and again, I'm generalizing here, very general. More often than not, when you've got managers that are like that, they're the type of people that will be looking to find fault with their team members. Whereas leaders will focus on the good that the team members are doing. And then if there is a particular issue, then it's so much easier to actually get to the core of that issue and resolve it rather than it, again, just being blown up and it has to go through disciplinary and then possibly tribunals, etc., etc. Because leaders normally have much better relationships with the team. There's always got the respect there. They all also know where the title and everything is, so they've got the automatic respect there. But arguably, more importantly, they respect them as a person. And when people, your team members actually respect you as a person, you can actually take them anywhere. And I don't mean that in an adverse way or whatever, in as much as they will listen to virtually everything that you share because they're on the same journey with you, they respect you massively as a person and as far as a leader. And it's so much easier to actually achieve absolutely anything because you've taken an interest in them. And at the end of the day, we can't do everything on our own. We need people to help us do it. So build rapport with the team. There's something that I've actually been doing, and one of the things that I've actually done in there is get to know your team. I've been gobsmacked over the years that how many people have got no idea what their team members like.
A lot.
Yeah, it's scary. Yeah, for me, okay, I'm a different personality to them, fair. But for me, I've always, and it's just been a natural thing for myself, you know, I've always focused on the person. Get to know the person because, again, I'll also bring this in as well, very briefly. There's so much about mental health at the moment. If you know the individual, if there's a change in personality for whatever reason, you can also identify that. If you can identify that, even if it's a chat for 15, 30 minutes over a cup of coffee or whatever, because that rapport is there, because they've got the respect there, they will listen. They will open up more often than not with an awful lot of the mental health stuff that's actually being broadcast at this moment in time. They just want to talk it through. You've been the leader in work, but you're also leading them out of work as well. And boy, if you've actually helped resolve an issue for them that's out of work as well, do you think they're going to follow you in work? Oh, too right. They're going to think that your best thing since sliced bread. They're going to be making recommendations to Buckingham Palace that you put on the honours list, you know? Because there's going to be that much respect there. Okay? When I say that, don't get me wrong. It's not saying that you need to become a counsellor and a therapist or anything along those lines. Because some situations you're going to come across, you need to pass over. But with an awful lot of things, okay, people just want to talk them through because the mind is just like a jigsaw. The pieces are all over at that particular time. When they talk it through to someone that's prepared to listen and be present with them. And when I say be present with them, I mean, stare at them in the eyes. You know, feel each other, the energies between each other. And when someone gets that, more often than not, piece of the jigsaw in place, they know exactly what to do.
Well, Dave, we're coming up to the end of the interview yet again. Far too quick.
On the last one.
Would you, have you got anything you want to kind of say to wrap up?
Yeah.
Oh, you're on the last point. We haven't even done point four. Oh, yeah. My, that's my fault for interrupting all the time.
Look, at the end of the day, why do people ask questions? They want clarity. So at the end of the day, the reason why you're asking questions is because I didn't explain it well enough. See, as I was referring to a bit earlier on, I'm humble enough and honest enough to actually say, look, it's my fault. Because again, I had the picture in my own mind and I didn't deliver it well enough.
And I'd forgotten we had 4 points, so look at the state of us both.
I shared that communication really well right at the beginning, didn't I? Oh, dear me. So anyway, fourth one. And again, this is where so many managers fail. Yeah, I'm going to use that term, fail. Okay? Make decisions. Ultimately, that's what we're paid for. Yeah, to make decisions. Okay? Whether that's leader, manager, but there are so many people that won't do that. Like years ago, I was assistant manager for an organisation. It's just a quick one, this one. And worked with a manager. Absolutely phenomenal guy. Wonderful. But if you ever went into his office to actually get some clarity on something, you'd come out half an hour, three quarters of an hour later, learned loads of new stories, but you still didn't have a decision. The team are actually looking for leaders. And the leaders make the decisions. It may not be right long term, but if you make that decision with absolute honesty, with the information that you have at that time, then that's the right decision. because if you haven't got all the information, then we're back to what we were talking about a bit earlier on, communication, and the information hasn't been communicated to yourself. Decision making is the key to everything that we do. Look, you've made a decision to actually be on this podcast. Okay, so when it comes to making a decision, make the decision that's right. Because people need the guidance. They need the certainty of you to make the decisions that are going to help them, going to help the business move forward. So as we run out of time, I'll actually stop there because it could go for, for quite a bit longer. But yes, so they were the 4 points. And like I say, let's keep things simple. We can make things an awful lot bigger than what they are. We don't need to. At the end of the day, people are people. They're not changing. The principles are still the same. Work on them, as in to develop them. Work on the teams and the individuals, collectively, but also separately as well. And then just make the decisions to actually achieve what ultimately you're there for, get the results. So I hope that has actually helped, Marie.
No, that's fantastic. Thank you, Dave. I think these are really key questions that, a lot of people are currently asking, because management, as you say, is just a complete, it can be a mess sometimes to try and work through it. So this just strips it back for everybody. Would you like to tell people where they can find you on the internet if they want more information on this?
Oh, bless you. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah. By all means, you can actually find us on Facebook as far as Dave Williams Coaching is concerned. And if there are any particular issues as far as confidence is concerned, I have a confidence group there as well. That's free to join, so you can always join that. Or if there's anything that you feel that might be able to help with, then reach out, either email dave@davewilliamscoaching.com or indeed go to the website, which is www.davewilliamscoaching.com. I bet you were surprised at the last one. Yeah.
Fantastic. And all that will be linked below, so you can just click straight through and find Dave. Dave, thank you so much for guesting again on our podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You're very welcome. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And thank you very much again for having me back. And I look forward to catching up with you again after your holiday.
I can't wait. Konoha coaching. Konoha coaching.